Begin the current daf starts in Rosh Hashanah daf Yitches. Begin on the second line for the top of the Yamid. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, we learned in the previous daf, Rabbi Yechanan said a halacha that if a person does tshuva, they even are carrying gzar dinai. They even tear up the decree of his that was sealed. Now the Gemara asked different questions on Rabbi Yechanan's statement, which the Gemara then qualified his halacha by saying that that applies to a tzibur. A tzibur, a public that does tshuva, that is always answered, and that is, at all times, they will rip up the gzar din. However, regarding a yachid, that's not the case. Now, however, on that, the Gemara comments now, the gzar din, the yachid, actually regarding this, that we had qualified and said that it doesn't apply to everyone, because by a yachid, as we found, it will not always apply. Even that itself, actually, tanoi is a machlekes tanoi, because there actually is an opinion that we could even explain Rabbi Yechanan's statement, not just by a tzibur, but even by an individual, we find that there is a tanoic opinion that holds that a gzar din of an adam, even an individual, could be torn up if he does tshuva. The Tanakh, we learn the Braisa. Her Yemeir said, Shnaim sh'ol lamita. You could have two individuals that go into bed, meaning they're ill, b'chol yon shava, and their illness is the same. B'chin shnaim sh'ol lagardim lidin. Same thing you could have to two individuals. They go to the judges, to the court cases, where that's where they judge if a person is going to get executed or not. B'din shava. And their judgment is the same. In other words, they were both captured on, for the same thing, they both have the same thing that they're being prosecuted for. However, Zeyarad, this person will come out from bed, Bezela Yarad, and this one will not. Zenitzel, this one will be saved from the execution, Bezela Nitzel, and this one will not be saved. Now, Memneima Zeyarad, Bezela Yarad. Now, Remeya says, why is it that one person will come out of bed, will survive, and the other one will not? Zenitzel, Bezela Nitzel, why will this one be saved from execution, and this one will be not? The reason is Zehis Balavanen, and this one Davin, and was answered. Zehis Balavanen, and this one Davin, he prayed and was not answered. Now, but then the question is, why is it that this one was Mispal and was answered, and this one Davin and was not answered? The reason is Zehis Bal Tfilah Shlema. This one Davin, a complete Tfilah, which means say that he had Kavana, he had a lot of thought, and then such a person is answered. Now, this opinion is the opinion of Remeir, who that's saying that Tshuva will work even for an individual who is the same as someone else who has his gzar din, and he also has his gzar din, but tshuva will help even for an individual to tear up his gzar din if he has a tefillah shlema. Whereas if Zeh lo yisbal tefillah shlema, the other one did not have a tefillah shlema, so lo'inan, he wasn't answered. Whereas Rabbi Elazar, he says, as we had qualified on the previous daf, that he says that Khan couldn't gzar din. The one who was answered was before his decree was sealed. Khan la'ach gzar din, the one that was not answered was after the gzar din. And again, that would be like the qualification on the previous stuff, that only by tzibur they're answered after gzar din. But regarding individual, after gzar din, it's too late. However, Rabbi Yitzchok says, yafa tz'akal adam. Screaming is helpful for an individual, bein kaidim gzar din, bein la'ach gzar din, whether it's before the decree is sealed, or whether after the decree is sealed. Now again, but this is what we see, that actually even regarding individual, it's a machlekes tanoim, if his tshuva, if his tefillah will help after gzar din, or not. Now the Gemara asks, in general, regarding what we had assumed on the previous daf, at least, regarding Rabbi Yochanan's halacha of that it's going to tear up his gzar din if at least it's a tzibur, if their tshuva is done, but the Gemara asks, gzar din, the tzibur, mi mikra, is it really true that the decree that was sealed for the public is torn up if they do tshuva? But v'akasav echad aymer, but there's the following contradiction. There's a pasuk in Yirmi that says, kapsi miro libech, I will cleanse your heart from evil. But yet there's another pasuk in Yirmi that says, Kiim dechapsi benesser, even if you'll cleanse yourself with nesser, which is a type of cleaning agent, v'tarbu lachbayris, and you'll add a lot of soap, still nechtem avonich lefanai, your sin will be a stain in front of me. Now that seems contradictory. Will it be cleansed if they do tshuva, or will it not be? So on that, my lab, on that, the Gemara in its question is saying, so we would assume that Khan couldn't gzar din. When is it kapsi? When is a person cleansed? Where they do tshuva before the decree is sealed. Kan la'ach gzar din. Here where it says that nichtim, it will always be a stain, is after the decree is sealed. And this pasuk is talking about even by a tzibur. So you see that even a tzibur that does tshuva, it will not tear up the gzar din. There will still be a stain over there. So that seems to contradict what Rabbi Yochanan had said, that at least by a tzibur, it will be kareh gzar dinam. I think one says, no, it's not true. Idvi idi la'ach gzar din v'lo kasha. They're both talking about, both psukim, about cleansing, yet on the other pasuk saying that there's still a stain, are both talking about after the decree is sealed. However, Khan, regarding when we said that it's still going to be a stain, that's because din shiyeshi meshvua. That's not just a regular decree being sealed. There's an oath together with that gzardin. Kan, here where we said that it will be kapsi, will be cleansed, is b'gzar din she'ein ha'mashvua, that as we had said, a tzibur that does tshuva even after gzar din will be cleansed. However, the case where we said that there will be a stain is that there's an added dimension, that of an oath. Because Rav Shmuel Bar-Ami, like he said, Amr Rav Shmuel Bar-Ami, Bar-Amilan, some say it was Amr Rav Shmuel Bar-Nachmeni, Amr B'yaynesen, that minayin l'gzar din she'esh ha'mashvua, how do we know regarding a decree that's sealed, that has an additional element of an oath, she'en nikra, that does not get torn up. Shem, like it says, a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, says, v'lechei nishbati l'bes Eli. So Hashem says, therefore I swear an oath to the house of Eli, im yiskaper oven bes Eli b'zevech amencha, that if the household of Eli will be forgiven with karbanas and with different flower offerings. Where we see that, since there's an oath, they won't be kapar. So after gzar din of an oath, there it's going to be nichtam avayin, that there always will be a stain. But regarding Rabbi Yochanan's halacha, that is not a contradiction. That's the pasuk of kapsi. If there's no oath, then even gzar din, there will be kapara for the tzibur that does tshuva. Now, however, the Gemara makes an inference from that pasuk where we brought, even though there was an oath there, that there won't be kapara. That's Amar Rava, and some have the gears of Rabba, which are related to the Gemara, which the Gemara will bring shortly. That is bezevech u'bemincha in miskaper. That's only with a carbon, with an animal sacrifice, and with a flower offering. There, there's not going to be an atonement. Of miskapa b'tayra, however, there is an atonement with Tayra. However, the Gemara does make the following diyuk, and that is Amar Rava, and some actually have the gears of Amar Rabba, based on what the Gemara will shortly bring, that b'zevechu b'mincha in miskapa. It's, although that it was a gzar din with a shvua, and a tzibur cannot tear up that gzar din, that's only regarding an animal sacrifice with flower offering, with karbanas, there's not going to be an atonement. Of miskapa b'tayra, however, Rabba does say, or Rava, that there will be an atonement if Torah is learned. That will provide an atonement, even for the base Eli, even though there was a Shavua. Abayam, he says a little different. He says, b'zevechu mincha in miskaper, there's no atonement for karbanis, of miskaper b'tor u'begimilz chasadim, as on, not only with Torah learning, but also with acts of kindness. So the Gemara brings that, Rabba v'Abaya, mid the base Eli ka'asu, they both came from the household of Eli, which was what we were discussing, which they were both qualifying, that the punishment that there's not going to be an atonement for is only with zevechu mincha. But there will be with Torah Gemilas Chasadim, or Torah. So Rabba does, but Rabba who learned Torah, which was to provide the atonement, even for the Gzar Din with the Shavua of the Beis Eli, Chayar Barnshnen, he lived for 40 years. And Abai does, but Torah Gemilas Chasadim, Chay Shitnshnen, he lived 60 years. And that's because he had the added dimension, according to his opinion, that not only should you have Torah, but even Gemilas Chasadim. Related to this, the Gemara brings Torah Ban. Right in the Braisa, Mishpacha Achas Hoyis B'Yerushalayim, there was this one family in Yerushalayim, those in the family that would die, they would die at 8 years old. So both ideas, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, they came and told Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai what was happening. So Amalami said to them, maybe you're from the family of Eli, the chesed that says regarding them, and all those who are raised in your house, will die when they become men, when they become 18 years old. So he told them, go ahead and toil in Torah, and then you'll live, as we just brought in the Gemara before. So they went and they told them and they lived. They called the family of Rabbi Yechanan on his name because in his merit that he told them this advice, they were able to live longer years. The Gemara continues on the themes of what we're discussing regarding the Gzar Din of the Tzibur being torn up. So Amar Rav Shmuel bar Inya Mishmei Derav, Minayin leGzar Din shel Tzibur she'ein nechem. He says, how do you know that the decree of the public is never sealed? So on that, the Gemara asks, on his question, are you asking, how do you know that the decree of the public is never sealed? But v'ksiv, there's a pasuk in Yemri that we quoted before, nichtem avaynich lefana, even though that was talking about a tzibur, which we qualified as talking about when there's a shvua, but there is there could be even a sin that has a stain forever in front of Hashem, so how can you say that it's never sealed? So Ella, rather, what he was saying was that afagav shenechtem nikra, how do you know that even though it's sealed, but it could be torn up? Shenem, like it says, the pasuk in Devarim, where the pasuk begins in Devarim Dalad Zion, kimi goy gadol ashaloy lakim karem lab, because who is this great nation that God is near to him? Which, as the pasuk there concludes, as our Gemara brings, kashem lakim, like Hashem our God, b'chol karenu lab, whenever we call out to him, so it's whenever we call out to him, even after the gzar din, that Hashem will listen to us and tear up our gzar din. Now, that the Gemara asks, but v'ksiv, but there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Dirshu Hashem b'imatzai, sikar Hashem, when he's found, which sounds like that it's not always, he's not always around, which would sound like that after the Gzar Din is sealed, that then it's not torn up. So the Gemara answers, Hasan b'yachad. That's by an individual, hacha b'tzibur. Here we're talking about by a tzibur. A tzibur is b'chol kirein olav. Even after gzar din, the gzar din of the tzibur could be torn up. When b'himatzei, there's certain times that it could work. That's regarding individual. Now the Gemara is b'yachad emes. When is it regarding an individual that Hashem is found, as the pasuk says, b'himatzei? So Rabbi Arvua, Elo Asar Yom, Shebein Rosh Hashanah Mikipurim, these are the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah Mikipurim, which is before it's sealed, which is what's known as Aseres Mitshuva. That is for an individual where Hashem is found. But after the Gzar Din, then it's possible for a Yachid that Hashem is not always around and his Gzar Din will not be torn up. Now the Gemara continues on this that we just mentioned about the greatness of Aseres Mitshuva. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph that says, Vayhika Aseres Yom, it was about 10 days. Vayigav Hashem is novel, and then Hashem hit and destroyed novel. Now, to which the Gemara asked, Yud Yom and Ma'ivad Atai, what are these 10 days that Hashem waited to kill novel? So, two interpretations. The second one, which is related to what we were discussing. I'm Rav Yehuda Merav, he says, it's connected Esali Gimais, Shanasin novel Abdi David. It's regards to the 10 portions that novel gave to the servants of David. And that is, David HaMelech sent 10 servants to novel, as the Pasuk says. But, and he gave each one from the meal, and therefore they waited 10 days for those 10 portions that he gave to the servants of David. And that's why Hashem waited 10 days not to punish him. Whereas Rav Nachman Rav Barbu, he says, it's Elu Yud Yom Shebein Rosh Hashanah Kippurim, is actually the 10 days that's between Rosh Hashanah and Kippurim, which Aseres Mitshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited for him to do tshuva, where Hashem is always behimatzi, he could be found, and he didn't do tshuva, and that's the 10 days that he waited, and therefore then he killed him because he didn't do tshuva, but Aseres Mitshuva, where the Pasuk tells us, Dir Shashem b'matzai, that's when Hashem is found. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah. We said that by Rosh Hashanah, one of the four times when the world is judged, is on Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei, that kol bo yo'elim o'ibn l'fon of k'nei v'mirin, that all the inhabitants of the world pass in front of God like the b'nei m'rin. Now the Gemara asks, my k'nei m'rin, what is this like the sons of m'rin? So the Gemara gives three different interpretations. Hacha targimu, here in Babel they interpret it means k'nei imrana. The Merayin is from the term of Amar, which is like lambs, which is that when a person has to give Meiser, a tenth of his animals, he has them go out from a narrow opening in the corral, where they can only go out one at a time, and then you know which is the tenth one, and then you make a marking, and know that's what it is. So same thing with Rosh Hashanah, each person gets judged individually and analyzed, it's one at a time. Similar interpretation, Rosh Lakish Amar, he says, it's Kama'ilis Beis Meron. It's like the elevation, like going up the mountain by Meron, which is a very narrow path, where you can't have two people go side by side, because the valley is very deep on either side, and it's very narrow. So that's also, again, the idea about one person going at a time. Behudah Mar Shmuel, he says, a third interpretation, again, similar, Kechayolish Beis David, it's like the soldiers of the army of Beis David, which is the army of the king. That the term Maroin is related to the term of Morus, which is the root Memresh, which means, say, authority. And that's how they would count them, the soldiers, when they would leave into war. They would go one after another, and that's how they knew the count of the soldiers. That's the same idea that these three interpretations are defining, which means, say, by Rosh Hashanah, everyone gets judged individually. It's one at a time. However, Rabbi B'chanan Rabbi Yechanan, he says, in spite of that, V'kulan niskir and b'skir achas, whoever, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets them with one gaze. And that is, even though they're going one after another, it's with one gaze that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges each person individually. Now, Amar Nachma Yitzchok, he says, Afanana Metinina. We also learned in our Mishnah that this is exactly the case. Although it's Kevenei Meroin, it's one after another, everyone individually, but it's Hashem, so to speak, with one gaze that judges them all. And that's because of the fact that our Mishnah brings the following Pasuk, where the Pasuk says, it says, how do you know this concept? Shenema, it says in the Pasuk, he forms their hearts together. He understands all their actions. Now, my comma, what is the Pasuk saying? And what is the Tanakh Mishnah bringing this as a support for? Now, if you're going to see the Pasuk saying as follows, Dabranu lekuliyam, Hashem Yisbarach created the entire world. And he unifies their hearts as one. And that is, like this heart, is his heart. Everyone thinks the same. Now the Gemara says, we see it's not the case. Everybody is totally different. They think different. So what does it mean, that he formed their hearts together? This is what the Pasuk means based on the continuation of the previous part in the Pesukim, where that the one who formed them, he sees together their hearts, meaning at one time, and he understands all their actions. And it's going back to the Pasuk before had said, that he overlooks all the inhabitants of the earth. And that's what it's saying, that Hayetzer, that the one who made them, he sees them together, their hearts, and that is this idea of that although they're one after another, but it's Beskira Achas, it's with one look, and that's why it's saying Shenema, that it's qualifying this, what would seem dichotomous, but it's really the same idea, that it's, although it's one after another, but it's at the same time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he judges the people. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah regarding the concept of Kiddush HaChedush, which much of our parak discusses, that is, Beis Din would sanctify the new month, saying that this is the beginning of the month, based on Edim, two witnesses that would say that they saw the new moon, because there's a concept called the Meilad, when it has the rebirth, because at one point you can't really see it anymore, and then it renews itself, and it gets bigger and bigger, and then that's the waxing and the waning of the moon. So on that, the Mishnah tells, Ashish Radashim, so regarding 6 months out of the year, Hashluchin Yetzin, there would be messengers that would go from Beis Din, from the court, who would decide that this is going to be the new month, and on this day, they would tell those in the diaspora, who are far away, which day was the day that they had decided is going to be Reish Chodesh, and that is, there's really two choices. Was it on day 30 from the previous month, which means to say that the previous month was what's called Chaser, a lacking, that it was only 29 days, and therefore on day 30 was already day 1 of the next month, or did they make Reish Chodesh on day 31, which means to say that the previous month was what's called Malay, full, that is, it was a 30-day month, and now we're making on 31st, because really, essentially, every month is 29 and a half days, approximately. You can't do half days. So it's either 29 or 30 to make that number come out evenly. And therefore, it wasn't clear to those who live far away which was the right day of Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, regarding 6 months, they had to send out messages so that people knew regarding the following times when are the proper dates, which was Al Nisim Ne'a Pesach. They had to send out messages when it was in the month of Nisan that till Pesach time, till it came to the 15th of Nisan, besides for Shabbos, they would travel, so they could tell people what was the day that was the first day of the month, so you know which is the 15th, which is the day of Pesach. Al Av Mnehatainis, on the month of Av, because of the fast of Tisha B'Av, they would travel for all 8 days, until Tisha B'Av, which is the 9th, besides Shabbos. So to Al El Mnei Rosh Hashanah, the month of El, they had to travel and tell people when did El begin, because of Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Tishrei, where the people in the diaspora would make Rosh Hashanah on day 30 of the month of El. Now the reason is because the majority of years, El is not M'Uber, it's not an added day, it's what's called a Chodesh Chaser, it's only 29 days. Now although it's still doubtful, because maybe Beis Din did make it into a full month, but it's not possible for them to know, because that's on the first of Tishrei, when they make the month, that's already Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, they have to go by default based on the majority of the years. Now, if they didn't know when El started, so they wouldn't know what's day 30 of El to know to go with the majority of the years. So therefore, by El, they had to send out messengers regarding Rosh Hashanah. Now, Al Tishrei, regarding Tishrei, they had to send out messengers because of the rectification of the different Yom Tovim in the month of Tishrei, meaning after they sanctified the first day of Tishrei, which was Rosh Hashanah, then the next day they would send out messengers, and they would go until they were able to get until they came for Yom Tov of Yom Kippur or of Sukkot, and they would tell them if they made it into a full month, El, or not, so that they shouldn't not be sure, and their hearts will be banging inside of them, maybe they'll be anxious, maybe this day of Yom Kippur or Sukkot is not really the right date. So although they started Rosh Hashanah on a certain day, because that for sure they couldn't know based on El, but still Yom Kippur maybe really they made it into a Chodesh Mu'uber, and therefore it's actually everything's a day later. Therefore they would send out the messengers until Yom Kippur, until Yom Sukkot, so they knew which was the proper date. Al Kislev Nei Chanukah on Kislev, because of Chanukah, which is on the 25th of Kislev. Val Adar Nei Purim, and in the month of Adar, because of Purim, which is you have to celebrate on the 14th of Adar. However, the Mishnah does tell us that when the Beis HaMikdash was still around, then another month they would send out messengers, even in the month of Iyar, because of what's called the small Pesach, which is known as Pesach Sheni, which was someone that was either ritually impure or he was far away and wasn't able to bring the first Karban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan and to then celebrate it on the 15th. Then he brings it on the 14th of Iyar, and therefore they had to know what was the right date to bring it then. Therefore, they would send out messengers in the month of Iyar too. Now, so therefore, again, that's what the Mishnah told us regarding that we had to know, because it wasn't as set calendars as we have it now. It was based on when witnesses would see it to then make it either day 30 or day 31, so they send them messengers. So we said there was 6 or maybe even 7 when the Beis HaMikdash was around, then they would do it on the month of Iyar. Then there were different months and then would send out. So the Gemara asks, B'leif gunami ad Tammuz v'Teves, they should send out messengers, also in the month of Tammuz, which is for the fast of Shiva Asa b'Tammuz, and on Teves, which is the fast of Asar b'Teves. As the Gemara continues, Amud Beis, Damar Rav Chana bar Bizna Omer b'shem Chassid. And that is regarding all the days of the fast that the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk for, where current day where there's no more Beis Hamikdash, so we fast on all these different fast days. Now our Mishnah is obviously talking about even Bezman Hazeh, because as the Mishnah concluded, however, that when Beis Hamikdash was around, then even an year. But it sounds like the Mishnah is talking about even Bezman Hazeh. Now, as Reb Shimon Chassidus said, that Maidich said, what does it mean in the pasuk in Zechariah that says Koyamar Hashem Tzavakas? So Hashem, the Lord of the Host, says Tzomer Revi, the fourth fast; Tzomer Chamishi, the fast of the fifth; Tzomer Shvi, the fast of the seventh; but Tzomer Asin, the fast of the tenth. Yila Beis Yehuda shall be for the household of Judah L'sasn L'simcha, for rejoicing and for happiness. Now, the question first of all is Karelei Tzayim. First, it's called a fast. Then, Karelei L'sasn L'simcha, and then calls it rejoicing and happiness. So that explanation is Bizman Shiyas Shalim, when there's peace, in other words, when the idol worshippers do not control the Jewish people, then Yulasasna Simcha, then actually these 4 dates will be times of rejoicing and happiness where it's forbidden to eulogize and to fast. Ein Shalom, when there's no peace, like it is Bizman Hazeh, then there's a fast, which means to say that we fast in all these times, which the Gemara will surely illustrate, are times of destruction for the Jewish people and of the Beis Hamikdash, so therefore we fast. So if we fast, we have to know when the fast is, just like the Mishnah said regarding Tisha B'Av. So why didn't it include 2 other dates, 2 other months, when it has to send the Shluchim so we know the proper dates? So my Papa answers, this is what we said, and that is, Bizman Shiyas Shalom, when there's peace, then Yil HaSasna L'Simcha. That's when the Pasuk says, there'll be times of rejoicing and happiness. Yesh Gezeres HaMalchus, when there is decrees of the governments, meaning they're doing harmful decrees to the Jewish people, then there's fasting. In other words, then we have an obligation to fast. But Ein Gezeres HaMalchus Ve'ein Shalom, but if it's somewhere in the middle, where we're not being plagued by the nations of the world, and however, but there's still not peace, we don't have control of the Beis HaMikdash, then Ratzu Mesana, Ratzu Ein Mesana, then it's somewhere in between. Then if the Jewish people want to fast, then they can fast. If they don't want to, they don't have to. Now, since it's what's called reshus, it's voluntary, therefore they did not make a tircha, did not make an exertion on Bezdin to send out messengers to say about these dates, and that is there's no obligation to go ahead and fast on these dates. And however, but the Gemara asks, if that's the case, a Tisha B'Av Nami. Then what do you mean? The ninth of Av shouldn't be any different. It's one of the fasts, and yet still we're saying these 4 fasts, there's no obligation today because, although there's no Shalom, but there's no Gezeres HaMalchus, we're somewhere in between, and therefore we don't have to send out messengers. So why doesn't the same thing apply to Tisha B'Av, and yet we say on Av, we have to send out messengers? On that, Amar Papa, he says, Shani Tes B'Av. The ninth of Av is different than the other 3 fasts. Since it was doubled over the pains and the distress that happened on that day, Dam Malik, the master said, "Betes ba'av in the ninth of Av, Charv habayis b'rishenu b'shnia." The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the first one and the second one. Vinil kade Beitar, and Beitar was captured. V'nechushayir, and the city of Yerushalayim was plowed over. Since that was really major tzaras, many of them happened on Tisha B'Av. Therefore, that's different, and there will always be a chiv, even at a time when we're somewhere in between, where it's not Gezeres Malchus and it's not Shalom, still there's an obligation, and since we have to fast, we have to know the date. But the other ones, where there's no obligation to fast, it's a reshus, therefore we didn't have to send out shluchim for those that to know when the fasts are going to be. Time to learn the Braisa, which clarifies this pasuk that was quoted in the Gemara before regarding these fasts. I'm Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says, "Our bar dvarim hayir b'kiva derish." There are 4 things that Reb Kiva expounded. Now, and he's going to quote one of them where the other 3 are mentioned in the Tosefta in Masechta Saita. V'ani ein derish kamaisa, but I do not expound like him. Which, this is one of them, where the pasuk that we quoted before says, Tzayim harevi. So Reb Kiva says, and this is his drasha, the fast of the 4th, he says, Ze tes b'tamas, this is the 9th of Tamas, Shebe hufko ir, where the city was breached. Shnemek says the pasuk in Yirmiyah, where the girsa is, Machodesh harevi, in the 4th month, Batish l'chodesh, in the 9th of the month, Vayechzek harov b'ir, and that the hunger strengthened on the city, there was no bread for the people of the land, but Tivokayir, and the city was breached. Now, Vamaykar L'Revi, why is it called the fast of the 4th? Because Revi L'Chadashim, it was the 4th of the month, because we start off Nisan Iyar, Sivan, Tamaz, since it was in Tamaz, that's what called the fast of the 4th. Then the Pasuk says, Tzemech HaMishi, the fast of the 5th. Zeh Tisha B'Av, there's a reference to the 9th of Av. Shebay Nisrav Beis Lekenu, where that's when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now, why is it called the 5th? Chamish l'chadashim, it's the 5th of the month, which is Av, and that's why it's called the fast of the 5th. Tzem hashvi, Then Rabbi Akiva says, what's the fast of the seven? Zeh Gimel B'Tishrei, this is the third of B'Tishrei. Shebei Nere Gedaliah ben Achikim, where the leader of the Jewish people at that time, Gedaliah ben Achikim, was murdered. And therefore, it's called, which we know is Tzim Gedaliah, that's the fast of the seven. Umi Hargi, who killed them? There was Yishmol ben Netanya Hargai. Now, L'Lamedcha, now this comes to teach you from the fact that Tzim Gedaliah, the fast of the third of Tishrei, is included with the other fasts, which are all based on the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Sheshkula Misasin Shel Tzadikim, that it's equal, just as bad, the death of the righteous, Kisrevis Beis Lekeinu, as the burning of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, by my correlation, why is it called the fast of the seven? Because Shavu L'Chadashim, Tishrei, the seventh of the month. And finally, the fourth one, Tzim Asiri, what's the fast of the tenth? Zasar B'Tevis, this is the tenth of Tevis, Shebei Samach Melech Bavel Ayushalayim, which was when the king of Babel began the siege on Jerusalem. Like it says, a pasuk in Yechezkel, but he devar Hashem elai b'shana tshis, that it was that the word of God came to me in the ninth year, b'chodesh ha'asir ba'asa l'chodesh lemer, in the tenth month, on the tenth of the day of the tenth day of that month, which is Asar B'Tevis, ben Adam, son of man, k'sav l'cha Hashem ayim, write down the name of the day, as etzem ayim is at the essence of this day, that samach melech Babel el Yerushalayim, that the king of Babel came to besiege the city of Jerusalem. Now, by my call, I see why is it called the fast of the 10th? Because Asir L'Chadashim was the 10th of the month. Now, actually, this last one that's mentioned, the fast of the 10th, it would have been more appropriate to have written it first. Because actually, in chronological order, the siege of Jerusalem happened first. Now, why is it written here, the last one? Because it wanted to put the month in order, based on the order of the month, not in the chronological order. Now, that's Rabbi Akiva's interpretation of that pasuk. Now, Vani Rabbi Shimon says, in me, in the Armican, I do not interpret this like Rabbi Akiva. Ella, rather, Tzim HaSiri, the fast of the 10th, is Zechamisha B'Tevis. It's a different date commemorating a different event. It's the fifth of Tevis, which is also the 10th month. Shebei Bas Shmuel HaGoyla, where then the news came to those in the diaspora, which is those are the Gullus of Yechaniah, who went into Gullus Babel 11 years before the actual destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that the news came, Shehukseir, that the city of Yerushalayim was destroyed. Shem, like it says, the pasuk in Yechezkel. Vehi b'shtei asrishana, this was already in the 12th year, ba'asiri in the 10th month, ba'chamisha l'chaydish in the 5th day of the month, which again is the 5th of Tevis, l'galusenu, which was the 12th year of our exile, Boilai ha'palt Mishlaim, someone, one of the survivors of Jerusalem, came to me, Lamer, to tell me, Huxa'ir, the city was destroyed. And Va'asu Yem Shmuel came Sreifa. Now, based on this interpretation of Rabbi Shimon, they made the day of hearing the news like the day of the burning, of the actual destruction, which is just like these other fasts, based on the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. When they heard the news, they made the Tzim Asiri the same as the same fasting which is required for the day of the actual burning of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Rabbi Shimon says, "V'nirin devar midvarav." My words seem more appropriate than the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, because shani oimer, because I say al rishon regarding that which is the first in the pasuk. That's rishon. It's also the first of the actual punishments, because first the city was breached, then the Beis HaMikdash was burnt on the 9th of Av, then the Tishrei following that, Gedaliah ben Achikam was killed, and then the Tevis after that was when the news came. Now, and therefore va'alacharachem, what's later is later. But Behu Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Al Rishon, regarding that which is first in the Pasuk, is Achron, is really the last thing for the punishment. Val Achron, that which is last in the Pasuk, is actually Rishon, is the first of the punishments. Because first was Samach Melech Bavel. First, Asar B'Tevis, which he's mentioning last, that's actually the first thing that happened. First, the siege began. Then the city walls were breached. So it comes out that Shiva Asar B'Tamis, the 17th of Tamis, which is first in the Pasuk, is actually after the siege of Babel, which he mentions, according to his interpretation, last in the Pasuk. Now, Elishahu Manil Seid the Chadashim, it's just Rebbe Kiva, he's counting, he's saying that the Pasuk wasn't particular about the order of the events, it was just particular about the order of the months, and that's why he has Tamis before Tevis. But Vani Manil, but I count also Seid the Paranis, also for the chronology of the actual events themselves, and therefore my interpretation is better, because not only do I have the order of the months, I have the order of the actual events themselves, and that's Rabbi Shimon augurs in Rekiva. Again, that's what the Gemara was bringing down, this interpretation, because the Gemara had discussed this regarding the question about that there should be two other months when they should send out Shluchim because they have the other fasts. The Gemara said that they're Rishus, they're only voluntary in, at times when it's not Gezerah Malchus Aleinu, and that's why they didn't have to send out Shluchim for those. Whereas Tisha B'Av, which was Huchvel Beitzaris, that's why our Mishnah said they had to send out messengers. Now the Gemara continues expounding based on the pasuk that we just quoted before. Itmar, we learned, Rav Reb Chanina Amri, both of them say, but le Megillas Tainus. The scroll of the fast is already nullified. Now, what that means is that there were certain Yom Tevim, there were certain holidays that the Chacham had established that there should be celebrations because of the miracles that happened on those days. And therefore, fasting is forbidden. There were those that were even were forbidden to have eulogies. And they were all written in this one scroll, which was, as the Gemara will later on quote, that it was written in Aramaic, Ilon Yomaya, these are the days, Deloy Lesanabahu, not to fast on them. Now, this opinion says, however, that now that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so now these forbidden times of fasting and eulogizing are nullified, and one could fast because they're not Yom Tov anymore, now that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash anymore. They argue, they say, no, the scroll of the fast, which are days that are forbidden to fast because of the miracles, was not nullified. Now the Gemara explains our machlekes. Rav Reb Chanina Amri, but Megillas Tainus, they say that the times which are forbidden for fasting has been nullified because, hachikama, this is what the pasuk said, which we just quoted before. Bezman Shiyas Shalom, at the time when there's peace, then Yulasas L'Simcha, then these times should be times of rejoicing and happiness. Ain Shalom Tzayim. We said, however, if there's no peace, then there's fasting. Now, that's in spite of the fact that when the Beis HaMikdash was around, then they were called Yom Tovim. But now that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so that what type of rejoicing do we have? And therefore, their times of fasting. So, Hanachnami, here also regarding the Megillas Tainus, Kihani is the same as the other ones. Just like those were nullified once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Here also, these other miracles which were celebrated as Yom Tovim and the Beis HaMikdash, now the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, we don't have them anymore, and therefore we could fast and eulogize. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Levi Amri, they say, Loi Batla Megillas Tainus. No, the times of when it's forbidden to fast because of the miracles was not nullified. Because Hani Hu de Talin Rachamon the Beis HaMikdash. Regarding those four fasts mentioned in the Pasuk makes it dependent on the building of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, which is because of the destruction, that's why we fast on those days. Now, when it's built, so then they become Yom Tovim. That's in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, that they would send out messengers to go, and where the Pasuk says, according to Zechariah, that the people asked, should I go ahead and cry in the fifth month? Should I do like I did for all these times since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered them through Zechariah that no, what you had fasted up until now for these 7 years in the Gullus, from now on should be L'sas and L'simcha and for Yom Tovim, because now you have the second Beis HaMikdash. But after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash now anymore. So it reverts back that it's no more Yom Tovim, because again, it's interdependent on the Beis HaMikdash. But the other miracles which they made into Yom Tovim, which are recorded in Megillas Tainus, they're not dependent on the Beis HaMikdash. So even if the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, those Yom Tovim will still be around, and therefore we're still not allowed to fast, or in some cases eulogize on those days, because again, it's not dependent, like those four fasts, on the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Masar Rav Kana asks from the following Braisa on the opinion of those who say that but le Megillas Tainus, that it's not around anymore, that we're allowed to go ahead and fast on these days. Because Maisav Gazru Tainus Pachanika B'Lud, there was an incident where the people had decreed in the city of Lud a fast day on the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Now, V'yard Rebbe Lazar V'rachat, Rebbe Lazar went down and he bathed. Rebbe Shua V'sib, Rebbe Shua went and he took a haircut. V'amalahem, and they told the people of Lud, Tzuvis Anu, go ahead and fast. In other words, you have to go ahead and do tshuva on Masha Hanisim, on this day you actually fasted, because it was wrong to fast on Chanukah. Now, Rabbi Yezir and Yeshua were after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, because in the days of Yechim Zakeh, their Rebbe was when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And yet, in spite of that, we see that they held it's not appropriate to fast on Chanukah. So we see that the times of Megillas Tainus are not batal. And therefore, it seems to be a contradiction according to opinions of Rabbi Chanina, who said that it is batal Megillas Tainus. So Rabbi Yezir answers that no, Shani Chanukah. Chanukah is different, it's unique from all the other those which are recorded that we're not supposed to fast. They can mitzvah because there's a mitzvah accompanying that Yom Tov, which is the lighting of the Chanukah menorah, and therefore that was not batal. Hamal Abaya asked, what do you mean? V'tevatel I, v'tevatel mitzvah. So what type of answer is that? Nullify Chanukah, and then the mitzvah will be nullified. So why is that a reason that it should still be around? Actually, it sounds like that. No, all the Yom Tov were not batal after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So Elam Rizik, rather Rizik was a different answer. Shani Chanukah, the reason why Chanukah is unique, is the Mefarsim Nisa. That, in this context, what that means is that the miracle already publicized it to the entire Jewish people, because everyone does the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah and everyone celebrates it almost like it's as if it's a biblical commandment, and therefore it's not appropriate to nullify it. So although actually it was batal Megillas Tainus, to resolve these opinions, that these times you are allowed to fast, but Chanukah is different because if we would nullify it, it would be almost like taking away one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, because everyone knows how popular Chanukah is, and that's why they kept that, and that's why it's not appropriate to fast on that day. But the Gemara continues to ask. Meisav Rav Acha bar Huna, he asked, quoting what was written in this actual Megillah, Megillah's Tainus, which is written in Aramaic, it says over there, B'tlasa B'tishrei, in the third of Tishrei, B'telas ad karta minshtaria, that it was nullified, the mentioning of Hashem's name in any documents, because Shagazar Malchus Yavin Gezer, because the Greek had made a decree, Shalal Haskar Shem Shemayim Apim, that the name of God should not be mentioned. Now, Shagavar Malchus Chashmanov and Natskam, however, when the kingdom of the Chashmanov went and vanquished and conquered the Greek, so they instituted that to almost to take back and do the opposite, that the name of God should be mentioned even on documents. Now, this is what they would write on their documents. And this in this year to Yechna Kan Godol, to the Supreme God, meaning to mentioning Hashem's name. Now, however, when the Chacham heard about this, Amr, they said, wait, Lamacher, what's going to happen is, the next day, the other person will pay up his debt. So then you're going to find the document in the garbage heap, because it was already paid up, and you have Hashem's name in the garbage heap. So they nullified this. Now, but it was very hard to do this, because people were already getting used to this about writing Hashem's name in the documents. But when the Chum heard about it and they nullified it, so it found favor, and people stopped doing it. Now, that was almost considered miraculous to the Chum that they were able to get that instituted to stop having Hashem's name written on the documents. So they made that day a yamtim. Now the question is, if you would think that after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash, then they nullified all the different times that they had before as miracles, that there's no time, there's no prohibition anymore fasting on those days. So Kamaisa Batal, the first ones are nullified, Achar Nisa Maisiv, now adding on more ones? What does this mean that they're coming to add more ones if even the first ones we don't have anymore? We're going to add on more times of Megillas Tainus? So the Gemara says, Hachamayas Kinnah B'Zmanja 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 B'Zmanja. That's not a question, because that which was added on to Megillas Tainus was in the times the Beis HaMikdash was still around. When the Beis HaMikdash is still around, although there was a period possibly of between the first Beis HaMikdash and the second, there are times when there's a Chorban Beis HaMikdash where we're going to say that it is Batal Megillas Tainus, but in the times of the Chasham Noam, the second Beis HaMikdash, then the Beis HaMikdash was still around, then the Megillas Tainus was not Batal, and just like as they had compared it to the four Tainisim where they are not fast, and actually the Yom Tov, which you're not allowed to fast, so too for all these other days of Megillas Tainus, which in the second Beis HaMikdash, you were not allowed to fast, so that was included also this time when they were able to get the name of Hashem removed from the documents, was added on, but you're right, after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, we're not going to add on more, because even the originals are already nullified and repealed, because according to their opinion, it's Batla, Megillas Tainus, those times which are prohibited, are not forbidden anymore today when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash.